seeking the help of the Lord, I would direct your thoughts and prayers for a few moments to a word you will find in the second book of the Kings, chapter 4, and a part of verse 2. The second book of Kings, the fourth chapter, and a part of verse 2. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Oh, there's such a deep teaching in those few words. If the blessed Spirit of truth will take and apply them to our souls in relation to the almighty gracious work of Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend, the Saviour of the lost, the fulfiller of every spiritual desire. It's all contained in that which this few words speak of. And it magnifies that work in that it sets before us that little things are means used by God very often to bring into effect those great and wondrous works of which he will be and for which he will be glorified. A pot of oil. Beloved friends, if you have a pot of oil, you'll be saved. You'll be blessed. You'll be satisfied. And though it may seem such a small thing, yet in the hands of a gracious and almighty God, it is the means of a fullness being made known, which shall forever give glory to his name. Pot of oil. Completely destitute. She thought it nothing. She felt it to be, as it were, the last hope she had. And that so small that she wondered, doubtless, if it would be any help at all. Would it be any means of hope for her? Nevertheless, this is her declaration that she possessed it. And friends, if we have that pot of oil spiritually in our hearts by faith, then who can tell what wonders God will yet bring forth, as he did for this dear woman, literally, what he will bring forth spiritually to those who have it. You remember in the parable of the foolish and wise virgins that Jesus spoke, there was again the mention of oil. And there were those amongst that little number who possessed it, and there were those who possessed it not. And therefore the separation was complete. There were those who had no oil. No oil in their vessel. Not a little spot. And therefore, they were in darkness. And when midnight came, the darkness was worse, for they had no means of light. And though they tried and endeavoured to enter in to that marriage feast, the door was barred. there were five wise, and they had this needful gift. And let me emphasize this. This precious gift of spiritual oil is a gift of free, rich, and sovereign grace. The foolish virgins could not go and buy, nor can you and I. It is that which is humbly waited for, prayed over, and the eyes are upon to Almighty God when the heart is so constrained to seek this blessing that nothing will satisfy them but the knowledge that it's in their possession. This dear woman, like all God's dear children, was in great need. It was a matter of extreme urgency with her, because a creditor had come. And you know there are creditors that come to seek satisfaction from a poor, weak, helpless believer. Oh, a worldly creditor, oftentimes. And then there is that creditor that comes in the form of the devil himself and seeks to get satisfaction by removing all that the soul hopes for. This dear woman said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." And the creditor is come, and I can't meet him. I haven't the means to take unto him my sons to be bondmen. Oh, here was an extremely sad case indeed. Here was a hard case to bring to Elisha, God's servant. What could he do? Nothing of himself. But remember, he was a prophet of the Lord. He was a servant of the living God. And as such, he was endued with living faith in that God. And to him now did he turn his eyes. And his heart's prayer, doubtless, as he was confronted with this difficult, sad case, were up unto his God. "Lord, show me thy way. What wilt thou have me to do in respect to this need? What shall I do for thee?" Oh, sympathy may be strong, but it does not bring the relief. It's good to have a sympathetic heart. We were reminded of it in that portion that we read from Ephesians. There, the apostle speaks of the way in which God's dear children should behave one to another amidst their various trials and difficulties, to be kind one to another, and so on. And those exhortations are right indeed, for they manifest a right spirit. "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Is there anything that can be brought forward to alleviate your hard case?" "No. Nothing save a pot of oil." Ah, there's the secret. He would say unto her, "You are not left empty, desolate, destitute. Here is the gift that has been given to you. Here is something, though despised and small, that God will work upon." Now, I want to look at it as helped, and I feel very inadequate in seeking to bring this portion before you. But I want to apply this pot of oil to something very precious, very needful, essential for the comfort of God's tried and burdened children, and that is His grace. The oil of God's grace, and its source, and the channel from which it flows, and whence it flows. Friends, if we have this pot of oil, whether it be small, insignificant, makes no difference. The essential part is to be in possession of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we read in one of the prophecies, you know, there were different descriptions of the family of God and their position before God. There are the flagons, there are the cups. But you know, if it's only a spoon that contains this oil, it will be sufficient. For where God has granted that gift, He will honour it. He will use it for the glory of His name. And so, we need not to envy the flagon holders. There are some who are greatly favoured with this precious grace. And it's made known and manifested. It seems to shine forth in all they do. With others they have a cupful, which is used rightly to the glory of God. But I repeat again, if it's only a spoonful, I have only a pot of oil. How often in our hearts we despise the small things, and yet it is contrary to the teaching of the Spirit of Truth. Seek ye great things for yourself? Seek them not, but seek the small things to be blessed and sanctified for your soul's good. Give thanks unto God if there's the small pot of oil. For it is a forerunner of great things to come. And it will be used as Elisha was here taught of his God, to bring comfort, consolation, deliverance. All that redounds to God's glory flowed from this pot of oil. We just notice, we know it's a familiar portion, but we'll see how the Lord God, in His wondrous love and mercy, made known His power through His servant the prophet to this dear woman. Go and borrow abroad vessels, empty vessels, and borrow not a few, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Come ye apart, come my people, enter into thy chamber. Here you can tell the Lord your need, but here the Lord will grant the pouring out. Here He will make known His love and power in your deliverance. When thou art come in, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Shut out the world. Shut out the wisdom of man. Shut out all that would detract from the glory of God in answering a felt deep need. A single eye, a single heart, a single desire. Oh, what a mercy when all these are joined together, while that soul is separated in spirit to their God. Come ye apart and rest a while. Rest in that for which God hath promised to such that possesses grace, and seek to know it more, and seek the witness within, the seal, as we have been reminded in our reading, a seal that this gift that has been bestowed will, under God's blessing, be unto them all their salvation, all their desire fulfilled. And when thou art come in, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went and shut the door, and her sons brought the vessels to her, and she poured out that precious little pot. She poured it out. Oh, doubtless, many fears, but this is all I've got. I say again, if that's all you've got, give thanks unto God and seek the grace of faith to pour out according to His command, to use it for His glory, for His honour and for His praise, and your soul shall be blessed under it. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And then the oil stayed. The work was complete. That which God had intended and appointed for this woman was brought to a blessed conclusion. There was sufficient. Oh, when the apostle said, my grace is sufficient for thee, he's only emphasizing the truth that is in this record of God's dealings in mercy with this widow woman. Sufficient? Yes. And so his children will prove it. Sufficient day by day. Sufficient through the journey. Sufficient at the end of the journey. My grace is sufficient for thee. And when there was no more, there was no more need. And when the soul is brought to that place, where will they be? In glory with the giver. There to sing everlasting praises unto him. While we are spared to journey along this wilderness way, we shall need to keep pouring out. We shall need the fresh supply. And that fresh supply is promised. Yes. According to the fullness which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the God of all grace, and in and through his dear Son, bestows all that is needful for the sustenance of that soul in their time of need. And the oil stayed, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Thus the word is set before us to declare the greatness, the power, the everlasting compassion that God makes known to those that fear his name. Now, we read from Ephesians one or two thoughts concerning this, which I would desire to bring before you. Only a pot of oil. Think on that first. Have we got that pot of oil to begin with? If we haven't, we're like the foolish virgins. We should cry out to others to procure it for us, and they'll say, I can't. I'm not able to do that. If we have it, then we shall know it. The Lord, by his precious teaching, will make us to know that we have in our hearts that which, though small in our estimation, to him is great indeed. That which is in our heart will bring forth the evidences. A pot of oil, his grace. And the evidences will be how that grace is made known. It is what the child of God, whoever they be, whatever age or condition they may be in, whatever pathway they may be walking in, that grace will prove to be a reality in from their heart which brings them to their God to seek help in time of need. Now, the promise of this grace, and it's abundant in Christ Jesus, there's no shortage there. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, what's the gift of Christ by which it's measured? Oh, friends, it's immeasurable. The gift of Christ to the church is eternal life. The gift of Christ to the individual believer is Christ in their heart, the hope of glory. There is the oil manifested. But it will be used while they journey along life's pathway, while they're brought into many times of need, it will be brought forth to satisfy those needs. The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is exceeding abundant, and it's given unto every one of us. So writes the Apostle to the believers at Ephesus. So writes the Spirit in the heart of everyone who believes by precious faith that eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, and are brought by this gift of grace not only to pray for it, but to believe indeed that this portion is there, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So it's full, it's free, and it's abundant. And then we read also that this gift is made over to the saints for God's purpose to be fulfilled. And therefore the fruit of it is blessed indeed. The work that this grace performs is beyond the power of man. And this grace, it flows. We read of it as a river. We read of it as a fountain. We read of it as a blessed stream. And whatever way it may be described, it is used of God to bring forth from this body of Christ, which is his church, that which shall redound to his glory. It speaks in that chapter we read that there are those who had the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, says the apostle, you believers have not so learned Christ. You who are the subjects of this grace within cannot come under such a condemnation of that. For you are the subjects of a divine work for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What can we in our poor hearts feel in regard to this grace, this pot of oil, this living principle that indwells the heart of every believer? What exercise has it brought forth in our heart? What fruit has been shown that we have this gift? Many, many are the blessings that are bestowed. We could name but a few, and perhaps you and I may at times give thanks unto God that this grace has been revealed in our own soul's experience to encourage us still to look to Him, still to bring our case to Him. How needful in every aspect of our spiritual life, in our worship, in our seeking to serve God, is it to have in possession this oil of His grace. Oh, how sweet it is to feel that an holy God who has all things to bestow should condescend to look upon such as you and I and say, this gift is thine. Oh, what it brings forth, the grace of humility first and foremost. If this gift is ours, if we feel of its flowing into our heart, it will humble indeed. It will cause the soul to feel that humility. I think it's in the Hebrews where we have this description of the effect of this work of grace in the heart. And it's a mercy if we do feel it, because by it we may be confirmed that we are partners and partakers of this gift of God, the grace which is bestowed. But we are exhorted by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. For surely if we feel the effect of this precious gift in our heart, we shall want to thank God. In the 13th of Hebrews, but I can't see it, but it speaks there of humility. An humble soul it is indeed that is brought forth from this gift being made known. We must leave, I can't see that. But where the grace of humility is, it will be followed by other fruit. For a humble soul that seeks salvation will find that in the rich provision of God's fountain of grace, there will be that which will constrain them, which will draw their affections toward Him who is the source of this blessing. And what a mercy it is that it never fails. The grace of submission. The grace of faith. The grace of supplication. The grace that is so essential for a child of God to walk in. And that will bring them to this fountainhead again and again. For we have the promise that He will always provide. In the 209th hymn, which I've got open here, we have this comforting word: grace like a fountain ever flows, fresh succors to renew. The Lord my wants and weakness knows, my sins and sorrows too. Oh, what a mercy, He knows it all. He knew it all with that dear woman, and therefore He provided. He knows all your need, all your case and all mine, and He will provide. It's all sufficient. He sees me often overcome and pities my distress and bids affliction drive me home to anchor on His grace. Oh, remembering how the dear woman had to pour out of her little that she might obtain much, and the soul will anchor on the fullness of grace which is revealed in Jesus Christ. They will lay hold by faith upon that hope. All sufficient is my Jesus. Yes, out of weakness He makes me strong. Out of my poverty He brings riches. The riches of His grace are beyond our description, because they come, as we were reminded in that portion from Zechariah, they come from heaven itself. They flow like a fountain. 'Tis He directs my doubtful ways when dangers lie in the road. Here I my Ebenezer raise and trust the gracious God. The grace of faith to enable that soul to commit all their case, all their need, all their anxieties, all their fears, to one to whom they look for the provision for their need. Oh, we have such a gracious God. My God will supply all your need. And that all encompasses every distress, every contingency. There are no contingencies with the God of all grace. He has provided for it in eternity past, and in the time when He brings that soul to be endowed with this pot of oil, He then makes known to them the wonder of that grace, all sufficient, according to the fullness, to the glory which is in His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, the hymn writer, when brought into the experience of this power, and I hope we've been brought there. I'm sure some of us have. I hope each one. In this experience concerning God's grace bestowed upon us, my every need He richly will supply. Nor will His mercy ever let me die. In Him there dwells a treasure, all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. Oh, what a resting place for a soul to be brought to. That treasure mine, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is what faith looks for. And when this grace flows in the heart, that is where the desire is set. The apostle again says, the need to be taught by this grace of where their soul may find their everlasting joy. All centered in God's dear Son. I have nothing. Nothing in my house but this pot of oil. Oh, bless God if you have it. Plead with Him if you fear you have not. For that will be the evidence that it will be given. The worldling will not pray for it, will not desire it, will never see a beauty in it. But the child of God, even though perhaps even yet in darkness, and having no light, not that saving light of it, will be brought to cry mightily for it. And the time will come when they shall see the fullness. The sufficiency of it is all centered in the Son of God. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Oh, here is the exercise of this precious gift brought into experience. The mountain, yes, may be very great, but before this gracious Saviour, in whom all fullness dwells, it shall be made a plain, and there shall be raised up this monument to it, and it will come from a broken heart, a thankful heart, but one that has been made a subject of divine teaching. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then, at the close of that chapter, we have the revelation of the source. Those two olive trees, the oil of grace, that flows continually, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. No ordinary oil. Grace is a gift of God. It's a holy gift. It's a precious gift to receive. It's golden. And it empties them out of themselves, to supply the need of every thirsty living soul. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, the Spirit of Truth, who reveals a precious Christ, that fullness that resides in Jesus their head. Oh, these olive trees and these lamps that shine, they all signify the riches of grace, which are laid up in Christ for His dear people. Oh, true it is, if we have tasted of this grace, if we have felt it flowing into our poor heart, we shall say, oh, that I could praise and love him more. His beauty trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will esteem. That would be the fruit of grace, the evidence that you possess it, for only such a heart is constrained into that pathway. To use that language and to bring it forth from sanctified lips. May that grace be ours, and may we feel the wonder of it, that it ever been made known unto us. Amen.